John, John chapter 5, John chapter 5. I truly appreciate Brother Mark Harrison bringing the word last week, and what a good word for us to recognize what God is doing. And I'm thankful for men like that will stand up and simply speak the word. And they've been given the opportunity, and I can't say thank you enough for that. The Bible's clear about helping us in our times of need, and so it is so good to recognize that God does want to help us. And you may be here today kind of in a hopeless situation. I'm telling you, God is able and God is willing to help the hopeless. And so if you're here today, I'm telling you there's a word for you as we read John chapter 5. So let me just speak to you this morning about how God will help people when they truly trust in Him. Here's what the Bible says in John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man said unto him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for being the one that loves us more than any other, the one that desires to help us, the one that can help us in our times of need. And so, Lord, today we pray that we'd all see our infirmities, our shortcomings, our failings, what we can't do, but you can. And Lord, let us have a heart that is open to you, that when you call us, that we would say yes. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would move me out of the way, that you would speak boldly through me, that you would convict hearts, that they may turn from their ways of what they think is right and turn to you, which is always right. And so, Lord, today I pray that you move mightily amongst us, convict us, guide us, and lead us to be your people at all times. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. Lord, we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I may have told you about the little boy praying, and he was praying, and he said, Dear Lord, take care of my mommy and my daddy. Dear Lord, take care of my brothers and my sisters and my pet dog. And Lord, be sure and take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a real mess. Now, I like that. The little boy didn't understand all there was about the Lord, but he understood this, that without the Lord, our life is a real mess. And I'm telling you today, if you look at this passage, you begin to understand that God does help us in special ways. I'll go so far to say is that the Lord helps all those that he encountered in the Bible. For those that needed a physical healing, he healed them. For those that had an emotional burden to be lifted, he lifted. For those that had a spiritual need, he restored. All those that believed in him. And so today we'll recognize some things in this passage that really should speak to us how we need to see ourselves as that lame man did, blind and halt and withered in one sense, whatever your infirmity is spiritually, and then you have your eyes opened, your legs strengthened, your heart livened, that you may follow Christ Jesus and have that true healing that you need. And so my hope today is that you will have an encounter with Christ, trust him, that you might receive what you need most, and that is Christ Jesus himself. Notice the first thing we find in this passage, there's the perception of Jesus, the perception of Jesus. And so we find in verse 1, it says, and after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. If you're a study of the Bible, you recognize clearly that Jesus does not stay in Jerusalem very often. He's in Galilee, he's in different parts, he's doing ministry outside the city. But on special occasions, at least three times a year, there was a mandate by the word of God for all Jewish men to come to Jerusalem to worship, whether it's the day of Pentecost or the tabernacles or Passover, whatever the time was, we know that Jesus made that journey to Jerusalem. He heads that way, and we're going to find that he's always on a mission. And so let me stop right there and recognize that for you believers, for me as a believer, Christ is in us. We should always be on mission no matter where we are going. Christ has given us this desire to be on mission with him. And so now notice, look where he's going. Verse 2 says this. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. And so we recognize there is this place called Bethsaida. We read verse 4, says, "For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool, troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of waters, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had." And so evidently at this pool there was a stirring. Now scholars are going to debate on whether this was a tradition or a fact. I'm not a scholar, I don't know, but I'm just saying what the Bible says. The Bible says at a certain time the angel stirred the water. And so evidently the people there must have thought that, because they were there by the droves, those with issues, waiting for the water to be stirred. And so evidently they'd seen this halt man, this lame man had seen this time and time again. So he was looking for something. And so Jesus goes not to the temple, but to this place, the house of mercy, Bethsaida, to be merciful. And by the way, Jesus is not just merciful, he is mercy. He is the one that can help and the one who truly cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me," this is Jesus speaking, "come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so we find that Jesus comes down to Jerusalem, not to the temple really to start with, but to seek this man, to save this man, to soothe this man. So I can say today that Jesus comes to us not for any other reason but to seek us and to save us and to soothe us. It is Jesus that does this, not ourselves, and we must recognize some things about that. And so we find him heading down. And so notice when he gets to this place, he's going to see something. And so notice first, Jesus saw the man was helpless. When you read verse 5, it says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. He had an issue for 38 years. I don't know how old he was, whether he was 38 years old. We don't know that. We just know this, that his issue was 38 years standing. We know that he has a physical handicap in verse 5. That word there is asthenio. It means without strength. He had some type of ailment that rendered him weak and helpless. So I'm thankful that when we see this man and Jesus sees this man, that he cares about the whole man. I'm thankful that the Lord cares about our physical infirmities. You know, sometimes you can be so spiritual and think, well, the Lord just thinks about my soul. No, he cares about the whole person. He does care about our physical infirmities. I cannot help but think about my life. I'm starting to admit I'm getting a little bit older, amen. It's just part of the things in life. We tend to kind of grow a little older. Somebody said this about growing old. There are four ages of man, and they relate that to Santa Claus. There's the first stage when you believe in Santa Claus. The second stage is when you don't believe in Santa Claus. The third stage is when you become Santa Claus. And the fourth stage is you start looking like Santa Claus. Our life, Marty, amen. I see some guys pointing at you, amen. And so we're getting older, and what I'm trying to say is our infirmities are there, and Christ still cares about those, not just our spiritual nature, but our physical nature as well. And you may be here thinking, well, this does not apply to me, but sooner or later, my friends, it will catch up with you. I'm reminded about Paul Anderson, born in 1932. He was deemed the world's strongest man. Matter of fact, I think he died in the 90s. He could bench press 650 pounds, deadlift 850 pounds, squat over 1,200 pounds. He was a man's man. You know what happened to him? He died. And so I'm telling you today, not to be a downer, but you're going to need something more than you sooner or later. You're going to need one called Christ that can only help. And so, my friends, get your eyes on that. If you have some type of infirmity, yes, Christ does care about that. So he had a physical handicap, but also he had a spiritual handicap. We kind of lose sight of this. The text really doesn't draw this out, but when you piece the other texts together, you begin to recognize this guy had been without certain spiritual things. Matter of fact, we know because of his lameness, he was excluded from the temple. He was excluded from worship. He was excluded from fellowship in one sense when it came to religious matters. How do you know that, you say? Because if we read Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus cleansed the temple, notice what happened. I'll just read it to you. Matthew 21 verse 12 says, "And when Jesus went to the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you made a den of thieves, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When you read other scriptures like this, you recognize those with infirmities like that could not come to the house of God. They could not be a part of the temple. They could not be where the people worshiped the Lord. You say, well, that's not right. Well, I'm just telling you that's how it was in those days. It's sad today when we think about our place of worship and how people forsake the assembling, how we need to have fellowship with one another. We need each other when it comes to encouraging one another. And so we saw him as not only physically handicapped, but spiritually. He was without the fellowship of God's people. But that's not the only thing Jesus saw about him. Jesus saw not only that he was helpless, but Jesus saw the man was hopeless. So notice we recognize he is hopeless because one of his mind, when you read verse 7, says this, as Jesus has this conversation with him, it says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Can you imagine being that man just for a moment and looking around when Jesus said, hey, do you want to be whole? And he makes this statement, I don't have anybody to help me. I have no man. I have no friend. I have no one that would help me to be faithful or to help me to be healed. You know, I've seen people like this when they look around, and I don't want to call them a negative Nelly, but it seems like everything is bad. It's a mindset that sometimes creeps into our life. If we're not careful, everything is going wrong. Everything is not good. And so we find ourselves having trouble after trouble after trouble, and we focus on the trouble rather than the cure. That is this guy. It's kind of like Mike Marn. Mike Marn lived in New Jersey. Here's what he endured over the course of 5 years. I think I've shared this before, but I like this. Over the course of 5 years, he endured 83 muggings, hospitalized 20 times. He had been knifed. He'd been bludgeoned with a metal pipe. He had lost several teeth, robbed over that time about $2,000 in cash, several bags of groceries, four automobiles, and just time after time. And so the police came to him, offered him a walkie-talkie. And so when you get into trouble, just pick up that walkie-talkie and call us, and we'll get there as quick as we can. Here's the walkie-talkie. You know what he said? No, thank you. They said, why? I said, they'll just take that too. He just felt helpless. And so we find today that we need to recognize we are helpless without Christ. But with Christ Jesus, there is just a prayer way before the Lord can be there with us and encourage us. Don't be a negative Nelly today. Don't say, I have no man. Don't think about the negatives, but think about the positives, which you'll see in just a minute. And so if we are here today, let us put our minds first on Christ and not our situation. So he had a hopeless because of his mind, but also he's hopeless because he had no mentors. Again, I have no men. I have nobody to help me. It is sad today to think about the church as we come alongside people to help people. You know, I think about COVID, and COVID ruined many things in our society. And one of them was churches. COVID came along and just separated the body. Matter of fact, there's still people today that are part of our body of believers that no longer come here, no longer go anywhere because they're still at their home. They turn on the TV, they watch, they do this, but they're not associated with a local body of believers. I'm telling you, we need people to help one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says this, two are better than one because they will have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift the other, his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So his mind was paralyzed. He had no mentors. He had nobody to help him. And lastly, with this idea, they had a wrong mechanism for salvation. A wrong mechanism for salvation. Verse 7 again says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. See, this man thought, if I could just get into that pool of water, I would be okay. If I could just get to this place in life, I would be okay. If I could just get here, man, life is going to be so good. He missed the point in one sense. All he could see was this idea of being in a place when really something needed to be in him, which was Christ Jesus. And I think we do the same thing at times today. Some say, well, we need to be religious or do religious acts, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad that you're a religious people. I am myself. But that is not going to make us fulfilled and content. That is not going to save us. That is not going to get us where we need to be at. It's good to be religious in the Lord's house, but that is not our salvation. That is not our eternal fix. It is not baptism. Now, I know this man's not speaking about baptism, but some people say, man, if I could just get to that baptismal pool, if I could just get dunked, if I could just get submersed, if I could just get there, I would be good. Baptism is a good thing. But I'm reminded that baptism cannot save you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. And yes, baptism is an act of obedience, but it does not save you. Again, it may be something else like church membership. And church membership is good. I'm glad in your place that you're here today. I'm glad that you're part. I'm glad. A good thing, yes. But church membership and denominational things cannot save you. So if you're here today thinking, man, I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to be right with God, and leave Jesus out, you're going to be sadly mistaken. I wonder what this man was thinking when he meets Jesus and Jesus asked him, begin to speak to him. All I know this is that Jesus saw him, saw that he was helpless and hopeless, and Jesus arrives on the scene. Thank the Lord for that. But thankfully, it doesn't stop there. So we go from the perception of Jesus, now to the perplexing question of Jesus. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie, and he knew they'd been now a long time in the case, he said, wilt thou be made whole? Now think about that question. Wilt thou be made whole? I wonder why Jesus asked the question like that. So I think there's a couple things we need to draw from that. One, there must be this focus on the fault. The focus on the fault, or the focus on the issue. There must be this idea of, hey, there's something wrong that needs to be fixed. That's the idea. Unless a man recognizes his need, he will not seek help. Unless a person understands they have a problem, they cannot be helped. I think a lot of groups have figured that out. Matter of fact, when you go to AA, I think the first thing they say, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic, there is an admission. And so I think when Jesus is saying, will that be made whole, he wants the man to make sure he recognizes there is a problem. You say, well, that's obvious. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we won't say there is a problem when there really is. There must be some internal process that really defines what we want from the Lord when we have an encounter with him. There must be some internal process that says, I need Christ Jesus. So I would ask you today, what do you want today? I'm telling you, the Lord's here today not just to fix your physical problems, not just to fix your emotional issues, not just to fix your financial problems or your marital problems. He can and will. I promise you there's nothing that he cannot do. But he wants to fix the whole package. Will you be made whole or complete? And so there's a focus on the fall, but notice the focus on the failure in verse 7. He said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. I have no man. I want you to go back and recognize that he understood that he was not able by himself to get to that place of healing. So many times we just put our issues on other people. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I was not raised like that. I'm just reminded that when we begin to understand our issues, when we begin to understand our failure, we must own that failure, that it's us that cannot overcome. If you begin to rely on others, they will fail you. People will fail you greatly. You will be outdone by others. You will have issues. And I'm telling you, yes, life is unfair. A little side note, if he had good friends that got in the water, he would have never met Jesus. And so what I'm trying to add there is, you need to understand that you're without hope without Christ. But with Christ, there is nothing that is impossible that Christ cannot do in your life. And so we must focus on our failure, that we cannot do it by ourselves, nor can anybody else do it for us. We need the Lord. Which leads us to the next point, the focus on the fix. The focus on the fix. Verse 8, Jesus said unto him, let me just stop right there. Our cure is Christ. You know, one of my favorite verses is this in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think I mentioned, no matter the issue, the Lord can handle it. Whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, Jesus is the answer. And so Jesus is asking to help. And so the question is, do you want to be made whole today? What happens if the man says no? Nothing. Jesus moves on. Let me say that again. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? What if he says no? What happens? Nothing. Jesus moves on. You say, why would you say that? Because some today can be face to face with Jesus. And Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? And you'll say, no. Guess what? He's not going to spank you, beat you up, put you in a headlock and body slam you. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to move on, though. Just know that. Do you want to be made whole? No. What if he said, yes, but not today? Yes, I want to be healed, but not today. I'm reminded that it may look like this. Do you want me to set free that drug addiction? Yes, Lord, but not today. Do you want to be set free that porn addiction? Yes, Lord, but not today. Do you want to be set free that life filled with all kinds of sins that are killing you and burden you emotionally and spiritually? Yes, Lord, but not today. I wonder if that's you. I'm telling you, you need to respond. Will you tell him yes or no today? There's a couple places in the Bible where the gospel was shared that people said no. Acts chapter 24, Paul, this is Paul speaking to Felix. He says, he's speaking about what happened to him. He's giving a testimony. And at the end of that time, notice this, it says in verse 25, as he reasoned of righteous temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way from this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul was witnessing, and Felix, the governor, said, man, I am so convicted. I'm just telling in the Pauline paraphrase. I am so convicted, but I don't want to give up what I have to follow Christ. I'll call you when it's more a convenient time. How about this? Acts 26, King Agrippa. Paul is doing the same thing. He's sharing his testimony, telling what happened. And he says this, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. And so we find the Lord speaking today to us. Do we want to be made whole today? Will you say yes or no? I'm telling you, God can do a mighty work if you'll simply believe and trust in him. Notice, this leads to the third thing, not just the perception of Jesus and the perplexing question of Jesus, but thirdly, the proclamation of Jesus. Jesus is fixing to do a miraculous thing. He is fixing to do a great healing of both physical and spiritual in this man's life. Notice what he does. Notice first the command to rise up. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Why the command to rise? He wants him to take a step of faith. Jesus is going to do all the work. He's going to do all the restoration. He's going to do all the power things. This man has no help, no way. He is hopeless. There's nothing in him that he can do. And yet Jesus commands him to do something, and that is simply rise up. Now you say, is that unusual? No, it's not. Over and over again, we see Jesus demanding the people to take a step of faith. He told the fishermen in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, leave your nets and follow me. He told Zacchaeus in Luke 19, come down from the tree. The rich young ruler in Mark 10, 21, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. He told the blind man to go wash his eyes, the leprous man to go show themselves to the priest, and they were healed. All this simply not their actions healed them, but Jesus did. But their actions were a step of faith that confirmed the belief that was in their heart. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Luke 9:23, and if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You say, well, how's that an act of faith? This man had probably not walked in 38 years. Have you ever been laid up for a little bit and maybe had a broke leg or something that caused you not to be up? Maybe you had a sickness for a while and you've been laid in the bed for 10 or 12, 15 days. Some of you have been there before. And you get up and it's like a tremendous thing just to be able to walk a little bit. This man was out of commission for 38 years. And so for Jesus to say, rise up and walk, it was truly an act of faith that he believed what Jesus was saying. He simply had to trust Jesus for what Jesus was doing. Again, I'll say Jesus is all the saving, but we have a responsibility to do as he says. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. James reminds us, what is the profit, my brother? Though man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? He goes on to say about dead faith. James 2:17 says, even so faith that had not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so all Jesus was trying to do is build this man's faith and say, rise up, and the man does. Verse 9 says this, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. Now I begin to wonder why rise up and walk and leave. Leave this place is what he's saying. Rise up and do not be an invalid anymore. Rise up and be different. Live differently than these last 38 years. Here's a sad statement that sometimes people get saved and want to stay in the same place they've always been. Some people get saved and stay in the same condition they've always stayed in. Don't be that same person that stays in the same place where the Lord found you. Be like this man. Rise up and walk and go where he desires. In so doing, it healed him by the step of faith, but also in doing it built the faith of others. It was the only way that others could see the faith of Christ when Christ called the man to stand, and lo and behold, it did. Now, we're going to read the rest of the chapter, or you could read the rest of the chapter, and you say, well, it got him in trouble. I'm telling you, it did, but it gave a testimony that Jesus was who he says he is, and we need a church today that when we have been healed of our spiritual issues, that we live like that so the church can show the outside world, yes, there is one that can save, there is one that can change us, there is one that makes a difference, and his name is Jesus. And so we find that he calls us to live out our life, that our faith is shown by our works. And so there's a command to rise up, but notice it doesn't stop there. When you get to verse 18, there's going to be, in those verses between 9 and 14, there's some issues that are taking place there. There's a battle of thoughts in one sense. But in verse 14 says, and afterwards Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made a whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now you begin to think about, well that's a pretty good thing to think about, that we are to be changed. I'm not sure if a sin caused this infirmity. I'm not sure about what all those things might mean. There's lots of thoughts there. I'm not even sure he's implying that the sin was the cause of the infirmity, but I do know this, that sin always leads to a greater consequence to being an invalid for 38 years in this man's life. And sin leads to a greater cause than what we were before, because sin destroys our life. What could be worse than being an invalid for 38 years? Being in hell for 38 years because he would not follow Christ, that he would not repent, that he would not come to Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that is the Lord himself. So I wonder what Jesus would say to us after he made us whole today. I'm telling you, you have to wonder long, because we'll all stand before him before he returns. One day he's going to make us all stand before him before he gives the things that he does. And we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord and focus on him. So let me just ask, if you're here today and never accepted Christ, why not today? If you're here today and need a healing of your spiritual condition, why not call upon him? Why not believe? If you're here today and need some help, don't miss the one that can help you alone, Christ Jesus. There's a little poem that I'll end with. It goes like this. I tried to walk one day, but there was no strength for me to do. I needed help from everyone, but Jesus, there was only you. You came to me in the midst of sorrow, in times of trial and pain, and you whispered simply, trust in me, because there's so much more to gain. Your call came in and said, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And by faith I rose and went that day, and now by faith I talk. Then you told me loud and clear, do not run back into sin. If you do, the last will be worse than when you first began. Oh, Christian, this call is the same for everyone that is here today. Just follow Christ Jesus, our Savior, for He has the better way. I'm telling you, He is calling today. He is seeking us. He desires to make us whole if we'll simply say yes. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. If you're here today and never accepted Christ, why not let this be the day? If you're here today and never trusted in Him, why not? You can say no. You can say yes, but not right now. I'm telling you, Jesus keeps on walking. But why not say yes? For whatever the need is, it may be for your eternal salvation that you've never said yes to Christ. Let today be the day you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're my help and my help alone. I trust you and I follow you. Help me, Lord Jesus, and He will. Why not make that public and walk down that aisle when we begin to sing in a few minutes? Maybe you're here today and there's some other issues you're dealing with. I'm telling you, nobody can help you but the Lord. You can go here and there, but ultimately, it's got to be between you and the Lord. Why not seek Him? Maybe today it's church membership and God's called you to this body of believers to fellowship and worship and encourage others. Why not walk down that aisle and say, well, we want to join? Maybe it's prayer at this altar and you know somebody's in need or you're in need. Maybe you just feel like that man that you have no friends, that you're out of sorts. I'm telling you, there's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother, the Bible says. There's the Lord Jesus. If you're here today and have a need, just say yes to the one that is seeking you. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. Lord, display that today in a powerful way. Help us to come to faith today in all things. Bless the invitation. Bless the people that respond. Bless your word. Let it not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.